7-Eleven on the Happy Wednesday edition of The Good Word. On FM 98.3 in Bloomington and Champaign, FM 97.7 and 103.9 in the Peoria area, and then AM 1020 for everybody else in Central Illinois, and of course, WPEO.com all over the world, also on Amazon Alexa and the TuneIn app. Our text line for this morning and every morning is 309-512-8490, 512-8490. If you have a comment or a question for our guest, Gracia Burnham, who is our guest this morning. Gracia joins us from her home in Florida. She will be up here a week from Saturday to speak at the fall fundraiser for Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. That event will be at Bethany Community Church in Washington on Saturday, November 4th. If you check your calendars, folks, you're going to want to be there because Gracia has a story that just... it's amazing to listen to, and you wonder, how can anybody survive that? And she joins us now. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning without giving away what she's gonna, what she has to say when she's up here on the 4th of November. So, Gracia, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm great. It's Happy Wednesday around here.
And
that's just what we call Wednesdays when I remember it, and that's something that has been a part of when I've called Happy Wednesday, Happy Wednesday since my college days. And
that's great.
It's something that I have enjoyed. People think I'm a little crazy, but that's all right. Gracia, thank you so much for joining us this morning. When Katrina announced that you were going to be up here, I jumped up and down. I thought, oh, good. I've wanted to hear this story in person for years.
Aw. I'm just happy to be with you today and looking forward to being in your area in just a few days.
Yeah. So when this all the way back in, was it 2000 or 2001, you and your husband were serving in the Philippines with New Tribes Mission. And it was 2001 on May 27th. And you were celebrating your 18th wedding anniversary. And that was the big day, wasn't it?
It was. We decided to go out to a resort. We didn't really have time to do it. In fact, we did a lot of talking about it and decided to go spend one night out at a resort that we'd heard about and had a nice meal, you know, the night before and went out in the kayaks to look at the starfish. And the next morning before dawn, there was a pounding on the door, bang, bang, bang. And even before Martin could get to the door, these three guys with M16s broke the door in. And one of them took him right out. One of them came over to the bed and lowered his weapon at me and yelled, go, go, go. And they took us all, not just Martin and I, there was, you know, a little crowd of us, took us down to a waiting speedboat. And as we pulled away from the dock, they raised their weapons in the air, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. And that's when we knew that it was Muslims who had taken us hostage. And everybody knew who they were in that area of the Philippines, militant Muslims. And that started a year of being held by them.
So let's rewind a little bit. Can you tell us about your work with New Tribes, what you had been doing for 17 years?
Yeah, Martin was what we call a jungle pilot. Of course, our missionaries with New Tribes Mission, New Tribes has changed their name recently. Mm-hmm. They're Ethnos 360 now. It fits our organization a little bit better. Our people work out in the middle of nowhere with, we used to call them tribal people, people where no roads go, often have been totally unreached. So often the way to get into these places that doesn't take a week or two is to use an airplane and build a little airstrip in the village where the missionaries work. So our job was simply to take missionaries in and out. You know, think of everything that your family uses in a month. We would buy that for you and put it on your shelf in the hangar and take it in. Of course, we did medical evacuations for tribal people who needed to come out to the hospital. And we did that for 17 years. Our three children were born in the Philippines, and we loved our ministry.
All right. And then on your anniversary trip, which you had debated even taking. Do you ever wonder if your debate, I don't know. I can't imagine being in your shoes. And then after it ending going, why did we go?
Yeah. And you know what? That was my idea. Martin needed some rest. He just had an overseas trip, and he needed to, before he started flying, he had jet lag, and he said, you know, find us a little place to rest. And, you know, I thought, let's go out to Dos Palmas. We've heard about that over and over. And had we chosen a little place in town, this never would have happened. My kids would still have a dad. But, you know, we can't second guess our choices. And the neat thing is, when you love the Lord, all things work together for good because you love him. So we just trust the Lord with that, and we just let that regret go, right?
Well, how long did it take you to come to terms with that and be able? I mean, it's one. I agree with you. Yes, we know that the Lord works for the good of all. You know, for the good for those that love him. But at the same time, there's the you know, it does it take? Did it take you a while to get to that point where you can say, where you just let go of any regret or grief regarding that?
You know what? I say that to myself every day. The other day I was sharing with a bunch of children, a bunch of homeschool kids, and you know, you talk through it all the time. You've had this loss, and things would be so different if Martin were here, right? Mm-hmm. So you talk through that a lot, and you preach the gospel to yourself a lot, and you think, you know what, he's worthy. Hopefully what you did in the Philippines brought about God's kingdom in some way in the Philippines, and you just trust the Lord with that over and over. Yeah, even today, you don't get over those weird things that happen to you, do you?
Well, no, you don't. And I appreciate your honesty about saying every day I have to tell myself this and move on, because life is hard for a lot of us. And whether we have been through something, some kind of trauma like you have or not, I think we can still get saddled with regret that we can let hold us back. And that is not what God wants for us.
Yes. We all have those things. If only this hadn't happened. If only I'd done that. Yeah. You can't live your life there. So we trust the Lord that at the end of the day, that's all we've got. And that's what we did in the jungle, too. We just held on to the Lord because there was nowhere else to hang on.
And that's what I want to talk about here in just a minute. But, Gracia, we do have to take a short break. I will make it as short as I possibly can. In fact, coming up in this break, folks, you're going to hear an announcement from Katrina Forseth with CEF telling you all about how to come hear Gracia here in, I think it's just 10 days, 10 or 11 days. Mm-hmm. Mark your calendars for that. It is 7:20 here on The Good Word, and we will be back to hear about the year of captivity in the jungle with Gracia Burnham after this on The Good Word. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois invites you to a fall fundraiser called Held Captive by God's Love with special guest speaker Gracia Burnham. Gracia is the author of In the Presence of My Enemies, where she shared the riveting account of being held captive as missionaries in the Philippines for over a year by a Muslim terrorist group. Yet God, through His grace, has enabled her to fly again. Gracia is now held captive by God's love and is a living testimony of trusting the Lord even in the midst of suffering and difficult times. The CEF event will be held on November 4th at 6 p.m. at Bethany Community Church in Washington. It includes a dessert buffet and the sharing of CEF testimonies and ministry praise reports and updates. A special offering for CEF will be received. There's no cost to attend, but please RSVP for planning purposes at cefofillinois.com or call the CEF State Office for more information at 309-688-9699.
Our verse of the week in verse 52, Romans 12:21, which says, "Do not or be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." That's Romans 12:21 in the King James. Hiding God's word in our heart, one verse, one week at a time, so that we might not sin against God, as the psalmist tells us in Psalm 119, verse 11. It is 7:23 here on The Good Word. Paul Scott with you, along with Gracia Burnham this morning. Gracia, does that verse... it's our verse of the week. We've been doing it all week, and it seems that oftentimes our verse of the week can have direct implications or application to sometimes a guest or a topic. And when talking about overcoming, do not be overcome by evil, instead overcome evil with good. That was your situation when in 2001, you and your husband, Martin, missionaries with New Tribes, which is now called Ethnos 360, in the Philippines, and you guys were held captive for a year.
Yeah, those are beautiful words, but hard in our flesh to follow through on, right?
Yes.
Overcome evil with good, because if when someone does you dirty, our first response is, how can I get that person back?
Yep.
And that's our first response, and we can find a lot of people who will agree with that. Yeah, those people deserve what they get or whatever, but God's the one that can put love in your heart towards those people, and He's so good to do that.
And so tell us about that year of captivity.
Well, we just started a year of, I don't know, ever-present fear maybe, never eating enough, constant thirst, moving, hiking, mobiling, they called it, always trying to keep one step ahead of the Philippine military who were trying to rescue us. Witnessing the atrocities these guys committed as we passed through villages, sleeping on the ground, the fear, that was the big one, you know, never knowing what was coming next. It was just a year of living with these guys on an island that was sort of a Abu Sayyaf stronghold.
And so how did you keep your mind occupied? You know, you talk about the fear of, you know, never knowing what's next. Did you often wake up in the morning thinking, well, is this the day that they let us go or kill us?
Yes, that was always on our minds. They kind of played mind games with us, actually. I think they would say things like, oh, this Friday you're going to be released. And I would believe them. And I would think, oh, if we can just go on till Friday. And then Friday would come and go and no release, no nothing. And then I would just be in the pit of despair, right? Why did I believe these guys? They're not honorable men. Yeah. Or we wouldn't be here. So, just kind of a roller coaster of emotions.
So what was it that you occupied your mind with during those days to keep from losing any and all hope?
Oh, well, whatever. When we were hiking, sometimes day and night, I would count from 500 to 1 backwards just to keep my mind busy so I didn't freak out or sing hymns to myself. I did that a whole lot, passages of scripture. Martin would plan businesses. He would say, you know, if we open a donut shop in our little town in Kansas, let's see, rent's going to cost this much. We're going to have to hire this many people. How many donuts a week will we have to sell to make ends meet? Mm-hmm. And, he would do stuff like that. Martin wrote stories to the kids when we could beg paper and a pencil from the guys. We made a checkers board out of abandoned cardboard, and he was sticks and I was stones, and, you know, just a lot of sitting, doing nothing really.
But yet you found a way to fill the time and to occupy your mind. And that, I'm impressed. I don't know. I don't know if I would have the strength to do that in that situation.
Oh, you probably would have done a better job than we did. There would be days we would sit and really do nothing if we thought we were in a safe place. And I remember one day we had a toothbrush that we were sharing, and the day was, you know, on towards the end. And Martin kind of looked at me and he said, "Have you brushed your teeth today?" And I said, "No, I haven't." And he said, "Are you gonna?" And I just kind of looked at him. I said, "No, I don't think I'm going to do that today." Some days we didn't do a real good job of filling the time, but we are who we are, aren't we?
So describe what was your attitude like toward your captors during that time?
Oh, well, at the beginning, for me, you know, one of real hatred. I was really mad at these guys. And imagining the worst for them, you know. And one day Martin said to me, "Gracia, while we've been here in the jungle, I've seen hatred and I've seen greed and I've seen, you know," he listed all these sins, and I was shaking my head. I was nodding my head. Yeah. Thinking he was talking about the Abu Sayyaf. And then he said, "I've seen every single one of these things in myself." And he just always said wise things because he was describing me. You know, I didn't love these guys. Jesus said, "Love our enemies, mm-hmm. Do good to those who hate you." And that's not how I was responding. And I really just kind of came to the end of myself. And I asked God to change me because I saw I couldn't change myself. You know, I would try. And I'd think, okay, I'm going to love these guys. And then we'd go through a village and they would chop some guy's head off. And I would think, well, these guys don't deserve my love. These are bad guys, and be just down in the pit again. So I asked God to change me, and God is faithful. When we're not faithful, he's faithful. And God changed me. And, you know, those fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, those can happen even when you're being held hostage in the jungle. Because I watched God do it, and it was like an amazing, it was a miracle in the jungle. That's what it was.
And even, I would imagine you didn't even have a copy of the scriptures with you.
No, we didn't. We had what was in our heads, in our hearts. And that's why I love Child Evangelism Fellowship. I grew up with that. My mom loved CEF, and scripture memory is a big part of CEF. And we had some of God's word hidden in our hearts, and we needed it. Well, one day, do you have time for a story, or are we ready for
Well, it? Unfortunately, we are getting close to a break, but if you can stick with us, I would, you know, we've got another half hour to go here. I would love to hear that story.
Yeah.
And in fact, you talking about the scripture that you had hidden in your heart, you know, that's why we do our verse 52 here.
I love that.
Sometimes I just need a kick in the pants to get going.
Yeah. And, Amen. I get it.
Yeah. And whatever it takes. So Gracia, thank you so much for joining us this morning. She will be the guest speaker for Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois coming up on November 4th, 6 p.m. at Bethany Community Church in Washington. To get your tickets, they're free. Go to CEF, to their website, and just say, "Hey, I'm coming," so that they can be prepared and have enough of everything for everybody who's coming. All right, it is 7:31 on The Good Word. Folks, we are still looking for some partners to partner with us here as a part of this program and as part of the station. The big one that we need right now is financial partners. Our goal for the year is $40,000 to raise from listeners. We're over 25% of the way there. That's very exciting, and I'm pleased for that, because we didn't really push it in the first half of the year, and yet listeners are responding, and so we're grateful for that. But if you've never given to the Word here, would you please consider that at some point? It's going to help us keep broadcasting God's Word to Central Illinois, and we would appreciate that so, so much. You can go to WPEO.com to do that, or our address is Post Office Box 1, Peoria, Illinois, 61650. More with Gracia Burnham coming up after this. And we are back now with Gracia Burnham. Gracia, thank you for holding on through the break. You were telling us, and for folks who have just joined us, Gracia Burnham and her husband, Martin, were serving as a missionary pilot. Her husband was a missionary pilot for New Tribes Missions in the Philippines in 2001. And then they'd been there for 17 years. And then one day on their, while they were out celebrating their 18th wedding anniversary, they were kidnapped by Abu Sayyaf, which was a militant Muslim group in the Philippines, and where they were held for a year. And you said right before the break, I have more to say about something, and so, hey, I'm going to get out of the way, Gracia. Thanks for sticking around, and let's continue your story.
Yeah. Hey, we were talking about scripture memory and how important it is, and one day I was mad at Musab. Musab was the quote-unquote spiritual leader of our group, and I didn't really like him, and this day he'd given us his extra rice to carry in our backpacks because he was lazy and he didn't want to do it. And as we hiked up and down mountains, my anger just grew and grew in my heart. And it just bubbled over at one stop, rest stop. I told Martin, Musab's going to burn in hell one day, and I hope I'm there to see it. And Martin got this shocked look on his face, like probably a bunch of people listening to the radio have today. And he said, Gracia, if you really believe that, you would pray for Musab. You wouldn't hate him. And he just quietly pointed out my sin to me. And so I just, again, asked God to change me. And we started hiking again that day, headed up this huge mountain ahead of us. And as we headed up the mountain, these words from Scripture came to me. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, those people, you know, those heroes of the faith who've gone before, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And it was just suddenly so clear to me, the weight I needed to set aside wasn't the weight in my backpack that Musab had given me. It was the weight of bitterness and hatred. And I needed to set that aside and look to Jesus, because Jesus knows how it feels to carry a heavy load up a mountain. He did that for me one day. And I just kept thinking to myself, you know, through that scripture, and take one more step. And when you think you can't take one more step, look to Jesus, because he knows how you feel today. And he'll be your leader today as you take one step at a time. So yeah, I love having God's word in my heart. Learned how much I didn't know.
Yeah. And well, and but then when verses like that come to mind, they can convict us no matter our situation.
Yeah. Yeah. It was perfect.
And it was good. So Abu Sayyaf held you for over a year. And let's fast forward to June of 2002. It's now been a little over a year. And at this point, you've got to think, is this ever going to end?
Yes. Yeah, we would think to ourselves, this can't get any worse, and then it would get worse. And then as the days moved into months and the months rolled into a year, who would have thought this nightmare would continue? That final day, the day that Martin died, we had this premonition. We kind of thought maybe something was going to happen. I don't know. We called it the Goonie Goonies. We had this feeling. And by that time, we were this ragtag group wandering around. We went from about 80 Abu Sayyaf to there were 14 of them and 3 hostages left. And we were just wandering around weak and exhausted and lost. And we were trying to get to this elusive village where they told us a second ransom payment was going to be made. But we couldn't find the village. We were wandering around lost. Well, what we learned was the village didn't exist. There was no ransom. They were just trying to keep us alive, the people on the outside. And it was clouding up to rain that day, and we could hear the soldiers up on the hillside behind us. But always before, there were certain rules for the Abu Sayyaf in the military. They never fought at night. They never fought in the rain, and it was clouding up to rain, so we thought we were safe. So we set up our hammocks and the plastic sheeting that would, shed the water so we didn't get wet, and we sat down to rest. And Martin in that moment said to me, he said something interesting. All day long, he said, I've been thinking about Psalm 100, especially that first verse that talks about serving the Lord with gladness. He said, you know what? This doesn't seem like serving the Lord. We've been walking through the jungle for over a year, but let's by faith accept that that's what we're doing here, that we're serving the Lord, and let's do it with gladness. And we sat down in our hammocks for a rest, and the military came over the hill and opened fire on us. And Martin was dead right there on the hillside. His final words to me, serve the Lord with gladness. And I'm so glad I have those words. Not that I live my life based on the words of Martin Burnham, but the reminder to serve the Lord with gladness, figure out what it is God wants you to do today and do it with your whole heart and do it with gladness.
And boy, if those are some good final words to hear. So we're coming up, unfortunately, on another break. Real quickly, though, can you tell us, how did your children handle all of this? That you're gone for a year. Who took care of them?
Yeah, as soon as we were taken hostage, the State Department and our mission agency sent the children to live back in Kansas with Martin's parents, who were tribal missionaries themselves, but they were home on furlough. And the children went and stayed with Paul and Arita Burnham in Rose Hill, Kansas, and just went to school, normal school. They'd not gone to normal school before. And I didn't know what to expect when I got home. And the kids just seemed fine, and they seemed normal. And then I started meeting all the people that God had surrounded them with, their teachers. It wasn't a Christian school, but their teachers knew Jesus, and their youth leaders and the people in the community and your listeners at WPEO. I think when people were praying for us, they were also praying for my children, and the kids are good. And they love the Lord, and of course they're grown and married and have children of their own now, but they're following the Lord, and just so grateful, so grateful.
Yes, I remember in the circles that I was in, living in Alaska at the time when all of this happened. I couldn't remember if it was New York or Alaska, but it was Alaska, and paying attention and trusting the Lord that he would take care of you. And your children. Gracia, thank you. Yes, thank you. I do have one more question for you that unfortunately, we do have to take a break. And so I'll just give you a heads up right now. I've heard that you've reached out to some of the terrorists who survived held you captive. I want to hear about that. Tell us about that after the break. We need to do that. But I'm
prison
looking
ministry.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Looking forward to hearing that after the break. It is 7:51 on the Good Word. We will wrap things up with Marcia Burnham after this. Here on the Good Word. Real quickly, if you have not nominated your pastor yet for one of our Pastor Appreciation Month weekends away, you need to do that. Don't trust that anybody else will do it. do it yourself. Send an email to traffic@wpeo.com. That is traffic@wpeo.com. We need your pastor's name, the church where he serves, the church address, and phone number, so that if his name is drawn on November 1st, we can get a hold of him and figure out which of the two prizes that he is going to receive. So go ahead and do that today. There's only a week left, not even 6 days left in the month, and then we will have that drawing 1 week from today, and we'll announce the winners a week from tomorrow. All right, we're going to wrap up this hour. We've been talking with Gracia Burnham, who will be here in Washington at Bethany Community Church on Saturday, November 4th, as part of the CEF of Illinois Fall Fundraiser. That event is at 6 p.m. Go to CEF's website to get your tickets. They are free, but they do need to know how many people are coming. Gracia has been sharing with us her story this morning about the year that she and her husband Martin spent in captivity at the hands of Abu Sayyaf in the Philippines, where they were serving. He was serving as missionary pilot, and when we say that, you know, Martin was he wasn't the only missionary. Gracia, you were there too. And you, even though many of your responsibilities revolved around taking care of the children, missionaries are a team when they're there. But so it goes by, you're captive for a year, you get rescued, you come home, time goes by, and you have now reached out to some of these captors during their jail sentence, correct?
Oh, yeah, that's a great story that only the Lord could write, that story. The Martin and Gracia Burnham Foundation at one point printed a comic book series, 13 comic books on the lives of the prophets, those men that Muslims believe to be prophets, mm-hmm. Adam, Abraham, Moses, Elijah, David, on through Jesus. And we printed it in the Tausug language, which was what many of the Abu Sayyaf spoke. And some of the first people to get a hold of that comic book series was a dear American couple that worked in prison ministry in the Philippines. And so they gave them out in the prison. And some of the guys came to them and said, they found out Gracia Burnham printed these. They came and said, you know, we're the Abu Sayyaf. We're the ones who held them captive. And I asked them, you know, find out their names. Maybe I know them. Here came the names, guys we walked with, lived with, starved with, 23 or so of them in prison for the rest of their lives. So this couple worked with those men, and I was able to, you know, fund a few things, and I didn't really work with them. That couple did, but so far, what we know is four of former Abu Sayyaf have come to know Jesus as their Savior. One of them is a very violent man with over 20 counts of murder against him. You know, a new person in Christ, a brother in the Lord, and I just can't wait for testimony time in heaven when a bunch of people who should be enemies are standing together praising the Lord because of what Jesus did. And I'm just so pleased about that.
And that is the power of the gospel.
Amen.
Gracia, thank you so much for taking... Folks, there's more to this story, and she's going to be sharing more of it. Her topic is going to be held captive by God's love. And that will be coming up not this Saturday, but next Saturday at Bethany Community Church in Washington at 6 p.m. Get your tickets. You want to be there. And Gracia, I look forward to meeting you that night. Hopefully I'll get to. Maybe Katrina will let me get close enough to shake your hand. But
of course. I'll look for you.
All right. Well, and I'll let Katrina know too. So, but thank you so much for the time this morning. I really appreciate the ministry that you and your husband had, being there on the frontier, the front lines of missionary work, taking the gospel where it has never been and watching it take root. Thank you so much. We're out of time, folks. We'll be back tomorrow. Happy Wednesday.